The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the word of God.
The three elements of victory. And we're going to take a passage from Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. The book of Revelation chapter 12. Verses 10 and 11. We are going to pick our components from there. So we can title this the three components of victory, or we could have said the three ingredients of victory. So let's go to the text, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come the salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The first concept that we seek to explain in this passage is the word accuser. Now, who is an accuser? Number one, an accuser is a fault finder. Even when there's no fault, the accuser will try to find a fault. If you look at Job chapter 1 from verse 7, the earlier verses talk about the fact that Job was blessed with wealth, with sons and daughters, and he lived in a land called the land of Uz. There was a testimony that God shared about Job in Job chapter 1, reading from verse number 7. And I believe it was this testimony that Satan did not like, that he appeared before the throne of God to contest the excellent testimony that God had about Job. God said Job was a perfect man, and he was upright, and he eschewed evil. So let's go to Job 1:7. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feared God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, that Job fear God for nothing? Verse 10, hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So that Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now take note of something. God had testified greatly about Job, that he was a man who was perfect and upright and eschewed evil, didn't like evil. Then Satan contested that and said, do you think Job is serving you for nothing? It's the benefits that he's getting. Then Satan goes on to point particularly to one benefit, and he said the benefit of having made a hedge around him. A hedge in this context is a wall of protection. It's a wall of security. In other words, spiritually, it's being revealed to you and I that there is a hedge of protection about your life. That's why the enemy cannot touch you. Can I hear a good amen to God's glory? But Satan said, God, it's because of this defense you have given him. You take the defense of, let me attack him and we see whether he will continue to serve you. So God gave Job permission, and gave the devil permission, and he went to attack Job and put balls on Job. Early on, he killed the sons and daughters of Job, destroyed his property, destroyed his house, destroyed his camels and oxen and everything, and Job lost everything. Until the wife said, Job, curse God and die. And Job said, you are a foolish woman. Now, all this is to show us that in spite of the amazing testimony that God had about Job, Satan had a contrary testimony. And his testimony was said that he found an occasion to go before the throne of God, like we read in the book of Revelation, to accuse the Christians before God day and night. In other words, Satan was unrelenting. He would not stop it. And he would go before God to accuse the believers day and night so that he might have advantage over their lives. There are various ways in which the accuser of the brethren, who is the devil, works. He may recruit some people. He may recruit people in church. He may recruit people outside of church. May recruit people in your family, or may recruit people outside of your family to speak evil against you. Secondly, Satan may whisper to your mind. He may whisper to your mind when you are seated alone. He may whisper to your mind even when the word of God is being preached. He may whisper to your mind at the moment you are about to believe God for a breakthrough. Then he will try to remind you of something in the past, or show you a negative picture in the spirit to make you feel unworthy and to make you feel that you are not up to what God has for you. When the enemy does this persistently against the children of God and they are not able to counteract it by the word of God, then what happens is that a lot of things affect the child of God. The first thing that affects the child of God when this enemy continues to accuse the brethren and say, you have done wrong, you fell here, you fell short over there, you missed the target there, you were not pure there, and therefore you are not worthy to receive the miracle, and are you sure God is accepting your worship? And Satan keeps playing games with your mind. What happens is that, number one, if you keep tolerating that for a long time, it may affect your sense of worthiness. God gave every human being his self-worth. And God gave every human being his self-value. This self-worth is pegged at the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for ye are precious, and ye have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. It is the most valuable thing that you can find in this world. And it tells of how much you cost God to buy you back and to redeem you from the devil. And God was willing to go to the highest lengths to pay the price in order to have you back in his fold. So I want you to know you are not cheap. and you are not a doormat. You are of great value. Your value is in the eyes of God. And he went ahead on initiative to pay for you at the value of the blood of Jesus. So you are not your own. That's why the Bible says you are the purchased possession of God through the blood of Jesus. Would you show your gratitude with a shout and a clap offering that he has bought you? He has bought you. Because God has bought you, you are not of your own. And therefore, you're not supposed to be deciding things on your own and doing what you want. Today, we have this saying that what feels good, do it. But you are not of your own. You have been bought by the Most High God. And he has a stake in your life. So allow him to speak into your life and guide you and direct you and help you be the kind of person that he has intended for you. So my prayer is today, may the voice of the accuser be rebuked and may your sense of worthiness be restored. Your worthiness is equal to the estimation that God has for you. And if God says you are blessed, you are blessed. If God says you are good enough, you are good enough. You don't say I'm good enough for the rubbish dump. No, you are good enough for the presence of God by the grace of God. So let nothing reduce your self-worth. And don't look at yourself as if you didn't matter. Can I hear a very good amen? The Bible says when Israel came close to the promised land, and some spies were sent to spy out the land and bring back a word. When they went there, they said that we saw the men in the land, they were giants, like the descendants of Anak. And we saw ourselves in our own eyes like grasshoppers. You are not a grasshopper. You are a giant of God. You are a very big person. The potential in you is enormous. It shall not be long when the fullness of what God has ordained in your life shall become manifest. You need to keep pressing on. You need to keep trusting God. You need to keep studying the word. And you need to keep allowing the Holy Ghost to speak to you instead of allowing the voice of the devil to talk to you. Am I hearing somebody say a big amen? Am I hearing somebody say a big amen? You made a mistake, but God sent Jesus to die for you and to shed his blood to cleanse you. So by that cleansing, you are restored and you are made new as if you didn't have a past. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God in the name of Jesus Christ. So maintain your sense of worthiness. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? You may not have money, but keep your sense of worthiness. You may not have the education you think you should, but keep your sense of worthiness. You may not have a car now, but keep your sense of worthiness. The salary may not be big enough, but keep your sense of worthiness. You are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy by the grace of God. The second thing, when you allow that voice of the accuser to prevail in your life, is that it affects your conscience. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the blood of Jesus has purged our conscience so that we can serve the living God. So that conscience is a spiritual organ for serving God. It is in your conscience that when something goes wrong, God speaks to you. If you maltreat somebody, God will speak to you through your conscience. if you should have done something and didn't do it, or didn't do it well, God will speak to you through your conscience. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So every second God's voice speaks to us, and it speaks to us through our conscience. The conscience of a fallen man is depraved. It is not sensitive enough. However, God speaks to him. But for a child of God, your conscience is supposed to be very sharp. When David met Saul, Saul was chasing after David into the cave of Adullam in the wilderness. And Saul came so close to David, but he was tired and slept overnight in the forest. David woke up in the same region to find Saul fast asleep. And when David went there, what he did was to cut off some of Saul's garment and took away his drinking jug. What happened was that quickly the Bible says, and the Lord smote David in his heart. It was in his conscience that God pricked him. It was in his conscience that God spoke to him. The Bible says in the Acts of Apostles that when he preached the word, they were pricked in their hearts. The expression pricked in the heart refers to that they were spoken to in their conscience. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. When somebody does good, God will speak to the person in the conscience. And when somebody does wrong, God will speak to the person in the conscience. God will speak to you so the wrong thing can be made right. The mistake you made can be corrected. But when Satan comes speaking to you, then he's accusing you and finding fault with you so that you will stay down. So the first effect it has on you is that you lose your sense of worthiness. Secondly, it weakens your conscience. I pray today, may the blood of Jesus purge your conscience once again. Oh, the amen is not resounding. May the blood of Jesus purge our consciences. And may God restore the high sensitivity of our conscience, that we will not just hear him, but we will also obey and honor his word. Number three, when the voice of the accuser seemed to prevail, it undermines your confidence. Your confidence is needed for the victory. In Hebrews 10, we are told that cast not away your confidence. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has a great recompense of a reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might obtain the promise. Satan will put pressure on you to throw away your confidence in the word. Satan will put pressure on you to throw away your confidence in the Most High God. He will put pressure on you so that you say, oh, I have believed God and it didn't work. It has taken a long time, and it doesn't seem like the miracle will ever appear. But the Bible says we are not like them that give up unto perdition. Perdition stands for destruction. We are not like them that give up or throw away our confidence that will lead to destruction. But we are of the kind that believe even unto the end, until God fully accomplishes it. So I want you to understand that one definition of faith is confidence. So when you throw away your confidence, you are throwing away your faith. And it is faith, your faith, that will bring you the victory. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? And it's talking about, this is that which brings us the victory, even our faith. So Satan's desire to accuse you is to make you lose confidence. So you are coming to church and we are praying and you don't even have confidence in your prayer. Today I want you to have confidence in your prayer. Look, when you say amen to the word of God, which is the truth, may the truth occur in your life. May your voice may be small, but may your amen be resounding in the throne of God. May the miracle you need, may God hear your cry and answer speedily. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? One human being is not more important than the other. We were all bought by the same blood. We have the same access to the throne of God. It is what you do with it that determines what happens in your life. So you to use your voice and shout the loudest amen for God's blessing. Say, I believe it is well with me. And I believe things shall get better with me. I believe I have a major turnaround. Oh, your voices are going down. And the glory of God shall be manifested in my life. Say it for yourself. I'm coming to that shortly. Son, that was number three. Number four, it undermines your accomplishments. Because if it is with a good sense of worthiness that you can take the promised land and you don't have it, and it is with a good conscience that you can serve God, and it is with confidence in God that you can take your possession, then if you don't have that, then you are compromising your accomplishments. The things that you will accomplish, the things that God will use you to build, the things that God will use you to establish, you find that even when you are praying for somebody else, you are not very confident. But I want you from today, operate in the highest confidence. Even if your pocket were dry, may you be confident that you have wealth coming to your life. Oh, shout amen. Shout amen. Number five. Persistent accusation of the devil may put some people in a guilt trip. When we talk about guilt, it's feeling bad about what has happened in your life. There are some people that feel that they should have gotten to a place where they are not yet, and because of that they feel guilty. Drop that idea. Can I hear and tell the next person, drop that idea. Be motivated, be encouraged, be made to realize that there's a shortfall. But at the same time, trust God that He will bridge that gap for you. And He will help you arrive at where you want to get. So a guilt trip is not the answer. Satan can remind you of a library book that you stole when you were in primary school. And can worry you with guilt until you may grow lean like an HIV/AIDS patient. Guilt is not good. It's evil. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Did you hear what I said? So that we do that which is righteous. But the devil just keeps accusing you and makes you feel that you are good for nothing. The next point, which is number six, is that it may result in depression. There are some Christians that often feel depressed. What is it to be depressed? It means to feel so low. It means to have a valley experience. It means to feel that life is not exciting. When you are joyful, you are on top. You are excited. A joyful person can walk for 3 miles and not realize it. But a depressed person sometimes can hardly move. Depressed people hardly can pray or can hardly get up and pray. They can hardly get up and study the word. They can even hardly get up and come to church. Some people don't come to church because at a certain period they get depressed. So certain things that used to excite them no longer excite them. And so you may be talking to them about the word of God, about evangelism. They are not moved because they are not happy. May the garment of heaviness be taken from your life today. May the spirit of sorrow be taken away from you. And may you receive the garment of praise, which will help you conquer the spirit of depression. Number 7, persistent accusation of the devil, if permitted, can make you lose your focus on Christ. Can make you lose focus on meditation of the word of God. And then ultimately, number 8, it affects your worship. It affects your worship. So these are things that you take lightly. And sometimes somebody comes and say, pray for me. But because he or she has not been taught how to handle the accusations of the devil, there is this persistent negative voice that keeps telling you, you see, all the others are fine. Only you. You see, what they had from the beginning, they have kept it. Only you. Where is yours? Don't worry. God still loves you. And you are dear to God. You are still the apple of his eye. And did you hear what I said? Your names are still engraven in his palm, and your walls are continually before him. He says, I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So you are now the focus of God's mercy. Oh, say amen as if you are taking the word. Satan can make you feel you are foolish. That the decision you took, you see, you are foolish. If you were wise, you wouldn't have given that thing to that person and so on and so forth, and the person has run away with it. Sometimes you can feel bad, but learn your lesson quickly and recover emotionally. Now when we go back to the text, Revelation chapter 12 verse 10, it says, now I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come the salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Before the coming of Christ, Satan seemed to have had a free leasehold to accuse people, and it was difficult to stop him. But after the coming of Christ Jesus, we are told now is come salvation, now is come strength, and now is come the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Consequently, the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. The very one that has been accusing the brethren day and night, he has been cast down. So what is the word telling you? What is the word telling you? Oh, somebody say amen to God's name. The word is simply telling you that number one, the accuser has been cast down. What does that mean? It means the accuser against you has been defeated. So number one, accuser cast down. Number two, the accuser is defeated. And number three, the accuser has been rejected. That's why he was cast out. So that what he's saying against you is not being accepted by God. If God will not accept it, why are you tolerating it? Why are you accommodating it? Why don't you counter it with the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ? So you can have believers attend a lunch or a party, and everybody is happy eating, but Satan is speaking to somebody's mind. And the person may be putting chicken thigh in the mouth, but he's not happy. From today, I declare your release is granted. Go serve God with a clean conscience, and may your joy be fully restored. We silence the voice of the accuser from your life and from your marriage. Oh, Masostaya. May the voice of the enemy be muted in the name of Jesus. May you discern the voice of the deceiver and reject it by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the eventual victory over the accuser of the brethren, who is the devil, was achieved by three elements. Was achieved by three ingredients. In other words, there were three components in this text about how the enemy was overpowered. And if you're a child of God, you must follow the pattern that God has set, so that in your quest to grow, develop, and become what God wants you to be, and overcome the circumstances and the devil and the voice of the devil, you must follow the pattern that God has set in that regard. The first thing that is spoken of in verse number 11 is, and they overcame, let me read all, and they overcame him, that is the accuser of the brethren, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So what are the three elements here? Number one is the blood of the Lamb. Number two is the word of their testimony. And number three is they love not their lives unto death. I'll come and explain. So let's start from the top. Number one, they overcame. The word overcame is from the present tense overcome, which means they conquered. Oh, I came, I saw, I conquered. Remember that film? They conquered. They defeated them. So another word for overcame means they defeated. Number three, it means they subdued. They put them to the place where they belong. And number four, they gain superiority, or they gain the upper hand over them. They conquered, they defeated them, they subdued them, and they gained the upper hand. That is why in the blessing of Judah, in the book of Genesis, in the Old Testament, the Bible says, your hand shall be in the neck of your enemies. It simply means you will have the upper hand. Let them try as they will. Let them take you by surprise. I will stand with you. I will fight for you. And I have decreed victory, that at the end of the day, you will have the last laugh. Oh, come on, shout and laugh, because your laughter is come. I say, shout and laugh. The Greek word for overcome is nikao. There are many words. But one is nikao, N-I-K-A-O. Nikao means victorious. The people who are victorious are the people who have conquered. They are the people who have defeated their opponents. They are the people who have subdued their enemies. And they are the people who have gained superiority and upper hand over their enemies. These are the people who are marching with the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ through the land, because they have conquered. They fear no foe, because what was the major threat against them has been dealt with. Now they come chest out. They are the people who will sing and they will come back. Can I make reference to the Black Stars playing in Abuja against Nigeria, and all we needed was a score draw. 1-1 was enough to give us the victory. Sometimes you may not have 2-1, but God will give you just enough to edge the enemy. In a foreign land, the Black Stars started jubilating because they had qualified to participate in the World Cup. Today, there is a certain spiritual World Cup that you must participate in. And by the power of the blood of Jesus, I have come to declare that you qualify. Oh, you don't believe you qualify to enjoy. The Bible says, he that is willing and obedient shall enjoy the good of the land. Anything which is the good of the land, I as a servant of God, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I have come to declare to you that the good of the land shall be your portion. If owning parcels of land is a good of the land, receive yours right now. If owning a house or a chain of houses is a good of the land, then I say, receive yours, take your breakthrough now. If owning a car or a fleet of vehicles or transportation is a good thing, then I prophesy to you that enjoy the good of the land. If marriage with children and with peace of mind and with wealth is a good of the land, then it is yours for the taking. Take the miracle, take the breakthrough in the name of Jesus Christ. If growing old, as you age, you become stronger and better and wiser and wealthier and more honorable, is a good of the land, then take that breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Don't condemn yourself. Don't judge yourself. Don't say that I missed the mark. The blood of Jesus cleanseth you in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus' death on the cross was his sacrifice for humanity. He was presented to us as our sin offering. It was through this sacrifice that his precious blood was shed. And it was at the shedding of the blood that we have had opportunity for our sins to be cleansed. The Bible says, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. When there is shedding of blood, the sins are withheld away from you. Oh, I didn't hear an amen from somebody. The consequences of the sin are withheld from you. So this gives you opportunity to have a right standing with God, because you have received forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. By the same blood, we are justified, because the blood has made us pure, without fault, without blemish, in the sight of God. And the same blood has brought us and elevated us to a position that is like we didn't have a past. So now God does not deal with us according to the multitude of our sins, but he deals with us according to the multitude of his mercies. What the blood did was not only to remove the sins, but to cover us as well. Under the Old Testament, the blood only covered their sins. Now, if somebody vomits here, and that's a strange example, a dog vomits, and I cover it with a nice cloth, it is still under there. But if we clean it and remove it, then we have taken it and disinfect the place and spray a fragrance, then everything is fine. In the New Testament, the sins were not covered, but they were removed and taken far from us. But the believer was covered by the blood. Oh, come on. May sin leave your life. May sin lose the hold and the grip of your life. May sin leave you now. May any opportunity to sin be closed. May you be empowered to overcome that sin and move on by the grace of God. May sin have no dominion over you, and may you not yield your members as servants and instrument to sin, but may all your members, your ears, your eyes, your thoughts, your brain, your legs, your hands, everything in your members, may they be yielded unto the Most High God, in the name of Jesus, that you will speak in accordance with God's word, that you will act in accordance with God's word, that God will be pleased with you and he will honor you greatly, in the name of Jesus Christ. So the same blood that removes the sin from our lives is the same blood that covers us. And in the covering, it brings divine protection and divine security upon your life. Somebody may give you a ring, you know, those who give the charms and the amulets, and they will tell you, when you wear this ring and an accident is about to occur, the ring may tighten your hand. If you are in the air and you are not the pilot, and you are not permitted to see the pilot, and the ring tightens you, what will you do? We have better than that ring. We have better than that ring. We have better than that ring. In the name of Jesus Christ, may the Lord protect your life, deliver you from danger, deliver your family from perils, deliver you from accidents and demonic incidents. May the Lord deliver you from the traps set on the highways and on the byways and at your place of work and at your place of business and at your place of education. May God deliver your feet and pluck your feet out of the net of the evil one. May the pit that they have dug against you, may they fall into their pit. May God show you where they have put the snare, that you would dodge the snare. And like the psalmist, you will say that my soul is escaped like a bird out of the snare, out of the little trap of the fowler. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? The snare is broken and we are escaped, and our help is in the name of the Lord. Our help is in Jehovah. Our help is in the Most High God. Some trust in chariots and others in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Most High God. The Bible says, cursed be the man that trusts in the arm of flesh, but there is an arm of God that reaches to the farthest end of the world, where your pastor cannot reach, the hand of God can reach, where the prayer of your pastor may not reach, God's hand will reach. When you call upon him in the day of trouble, there is the mighty right hand of his righteousness that will lift you up. The Bible says, fear not, neither be ye dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. May God uphold you. May he sustain you. May he support you. May you not die before your next birthday. May you live decades after that. I say, may you not die like the others perish, but may you live into a long life and be aged, still going stronger by the power of God in the name of Jesus. For which cause any disease in your body, any sickness or negative condition, we arrest it, we overpower it, we destroy it, we break the yoke and command you liberated by the finger of God. Be healed. He sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from all their destruction, from destructions of spell, from destructions of witchcraft and wizardry, from destructions of the occult, from destructions of people that practice sorcery and magic. Today I declare, and let your amen be louder than mine, I say I declare that the power of his protection is upon your life, for the power of the blood delivers you and covers you and hides your life from any dangers and any peril. Under the Old Testament, when Israel was in Egypt, in slavery for over 3 centuries, God requested of them to take a male-year-old lamb without blemish, slaughter it, collect the blood in a basin. It was a type of the blood that was to come. When they collected it, they were to apply it and come in there. So that takes us to the second element. The first element is the blood of the lamb. That's how they overcame the devil. The second element is the word of their testimony. One translation says the utterance of their testimony. The word testimony means divine truth. In the Greek, the word testimony is martyr. M-A-R-T-Y-R. Martyr. Which means a witness. In short, the word testimony has to do with making a declaration of a divine truth. So you are like a witness. You are proclaiming it. You are declaring it. You are saying it so that it will come to pass. Why is it important? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and then discerning of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So in short, the word of God is a two-edged sword. When you read the book of Revelation, in the battle of Armageddon, the Bible says Jesus will return with the saints who have been raptured, and Jesus will come with the saints riding on horses. And in that battle against the devil, it will be the sword from their mouth that will destroy the enemy. A believer that operates on the word of God and speaks the word of God is releasing the sword of the Spirit, the sword of battle, and he's releasing it at enemy positions. If you look at the war between Russia and Ukraine, you realize that every night there are airstrikes and there's a lot of shelling, and they release all kinds of ammunition from the air. Sometimes they do it. Sometimes they do it by drones. So they target a building, a facility, and they release it with the right coordinates. The aircraft or the drone will go there and hit the target. Today, I see you in prayer, and I see you in declaration, hitting the target, and bringing desolation to the camp of the enemy. You are hitting the target. The strongholds of darkness against your family, I say you are hitting the target. Oh, come on. You are not shouting. Even amen. Open your mouth too. You are hitting the target and attacking enemy positions and destroying and bringing to annihilation and total desolation and total destruction. You are bringing to ruins the cities of darkness and covens of witches and wizards. You are bringing them down, never to regroup again and never to gather again. Let me hear resounding amen. And they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb number one. And we're on the second one. And by the word of their testimony. There are some people, when they want to fight the devil, they do what the Bible says Moses didn't do. The Bible says, and Moses came against the devil, not bringing railing accusations against him. Say, Moses faced the devil, but when he was counteracting him, he didn't do that, bringing railing accusations against the devil. Some people in their spiritual warfare, they say, Abunsamu ye kwasi apa. Abunsamu ni adwin kra. Abunsamu. And then they just keep doing, listen to me. And they overcame the devil. Oh, Mastukataya. They conquered. They defeated. They subdued. They got the upper hand over the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They declare that the words that come out of my mouth, they will not return void, but they will go to accomplish the very purpose for which it was sent. If the attack is located 200 years in the past, the word will go into the past, deal with it, and the word will come back to me. I didn't hear an amen. If the attack is located in the future, the word will move into the future, deal with it, and secure my future for me. If the attack is in the present, the word will move into my life and deal with it now and here by the power of God. So you have to realize that you have the power, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Is somebody here? And casting down imaginations and high things that have exalted themselves against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The people may be diviners and they may have their tokens on the table and mentioning your name and the name of your family or your institution, but today the word says that the God overturned the table and the tokens of the diviners. That must be the word of your testimony. May the tables and the tokens of the diviners be overturned. And the Bible said, no divination, no enchantment shall be brought against Jacob. In the stead of Jacob, put your name and the name of your family and the institution that concerns you. Is somebody hearing me? Is somebody hearing me over there? There shall be no divination, no enchantment against Tete Jangma, against True Vine Charismatic Church, against you and against your family, whether online or in person, while you worship with us. No divination in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, you're not clapping. You are not clapping. It's as if you are not receiving the victory well. Is that how you can clap? All your clap. I said the Lord is your shield and your buckler. A very present help in times of trouble. Your going out is blessed as well as your coming in. I say you are blessed in the city. You are blessed in the countryside. The fruit of your ground is blessed. and the fruit of your womb is blessed. Your investments are blessed. Your cattle is blessed. Your business is blessed. Your vocation is blessed. Your career is blessed. You are blessed going out. You are blessed coming in. You are blessed when you rise up. You are blessed at noontime. You are blessed in the evening. You are even blessed when you go to bed. May God surround your children and the people in your household that you will lose no life in the name of Jesus. Let the power of God be released and discharged on your behalf. Let the anointing of God protect your life, secure your concerns, and may the anointing of God make a difference in your life. So you must be able to say in the word of your testimony, I am a child of God. I am washed by the blood of Jesus. I am cleansed. I am sanctified. I am justified. In the name of Jesus Christ, I stand before God by virtue of his righteousness given to me as a gift. You will overcome by the word of your testimony. So you better open your mouth and talk. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am an overcomer because Jesus has made me so. His blood that was shed for me has given me victory over sin, over sicknesses, and over premature death. I am victorious. I say I am victorious in the name of Jesus Christ. I am more than a conqueror. I have prevailed. I am blessed and I cannot be cursed in the name of Jesus. I have wealth. I have substance. I have houses. I have cars. I have blessing. I have wisdom. I have understanding. I have spiritual knowledge. In the name of Jesus Christ, shout yeah and put your hands together. You, I like your white handkerchief. May God see, may God honor you, may God descend. Hey, is somebody here as well? May the glory of the Lord descend upon you. Shame is a thing of the past, reproach is a thing of the past, and if they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, we declare we are out of reach of the devil. When they want us, we will be out of their coverage area. We will not appear on their radar in the name of Jesus. We will not appear on their satanic monitor. In case we appear, they will be made blind. In case we appear, they will be made paralyzed. And they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I said Moses did not rise against the devil by railing accusations. Nobody stood on the word of God and he dealt a blow to the devil. whatever you lost, I declare, shall be restored to you. Whatever you lost, whether it was a pregnancy you lost, whether it was a relationship you lost, whether it was a business opportunity you lost, whether it was a house you lost, whether it was a property you lost, may God restore you. Your life is getting better. You are becoming bigger. You are becoming greater. I say you are becoming more glorious. You are shining. The path of the just is shining brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. May the Lord bring you to your heritage. Usher you into your Canaan. May you enter your promised land. This side, I'm not hearing you. May you enter your promised land. May you enter your promised land. May you inherit your goods. May you dispossess the devil by possessing your possessions. You are blessed with the blessings of Abraham. The curse of the law is revoked in the name of Jesus. You have no curses. You have no curses. The power of the blood has nullified every pronouncement made against you by your mother, by your father, by your uncle, by your auntie, by your cousins, by your friends, by even your nieces and your nephews. You will not lead a wandering life. You will not desire and not have. When you desire in line with the word of God, you will get the blessing. Clap and shout. It's for your taking. Take it by force. The kingdom of God suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. May the Lord bless you again. Where are the white handkerchiefs? May the Lord bless you again and bless you again and again and again. Blessings that cannot be revoked. No, bless. I have blessed you and it cannot be revoked. Let me finish my message and let's go to the third element. The third element, and they love not their lives unto death. Most of the time we do the first two and we leave. What does that mean? It means they had a commitment and a sacrifice to what Christ had accomplished for them. So they committed themselves to the things of the kingdom of God and they sacrificed for the lives of others. They were the people that stood in the gap and they were the same people that will pray for lost souls to be won. They were the people that will intercede for more souls to be won into the kingdom of God. And they were the people that were praying for recovery of health in the household of faith. They were the same people that were nullifying poverty and asking God to bring to pass the virtue of prosperity in the house of God. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? They sacrificed their life to go to lengths to preach the gospel at the risk of their lives. They were not afraid. Some of you are so afraid that even as of last week, Ghana's coronavirus count was about 74. You are still so afraid. So afraid that even fear is afraid of you. May you be delivered from any fears. Can I hear an amen? So they were committed and they continued in a life of sacrifice. They were patient and they were enduring. They endured the sufferings of God. They were totally sold out to the work of God. They placed their lives online in order for the kingdom of God to be projected. These were the people who were sacrificial with their time, sacrificial with their talents, sacrificial in their givings, sacrificial with their lives. They were sacrificial in everything. These are the combination of the three elements that brought them victory. It is not only a matter of Yesu Mujanka when him. No, the blood covers us already. Today, purpose in your heart that you'll be committed to the things of God. You will sacrifice. Can I hear an amen? Don't travel abroad and forget God. Don't have opportunity to the university and forget God. Don't have opportunity to senior high school and relegate God. If you honor God, he will honor you. When you dishonor him and forget him, he will forget you. In the day of trouble, you may call on him, but he will not hear you. Tell the person next to you, don't forget God wherever you go. Don't get a little job with a little money and start making excuses from coming to church. Oh, Pastor, these days we are busy. And I say the chief executive of the chief directors of the director's office and everything and is so busy and you cannot even have time for God. You have time for Omotuo sessions. You have time for Banku and Akpiliji. You have time for what you can sit in the restaurant for 2 hours, but you can't come to church for 1 hour. Sometimes it looks like some people take the lead, but in the course of time, whatever they have will be tested, even on this earth. And it is what you have spiritually stored that will determine how far you will go. So you don't be envious, don't be disturbed. Continue with what you are doing. There are some things you can look at now. Let me give you some signs. Since you became a believer, if you look at your family, you will realize some things are getting better than before. Sometimes if you look at your children, you will find that God has brought them far, although he's not finished with them yet. You look into your own life, you realize that God lifted you from a position of nowhere and is bringing you to a place of prominence. You have cause to celebrate. You have cause to thank God. I like the way you are clapping. It's spontaneous. It's from your heart. It's natural. It's unto God. It's unto his glory. Today, the elements that we have before us are exact representation of what Christ ordained, that he who does not partake of his flesh and blood shall not have a part in him. And these are elements of victory. So you cannot partake of this today and continue losing. I declare, let there be an arrest of the failures in your life, of the evil cyclical events in your life. Let there be an end of the defeats and the disgrace and the failures. Let there be an end right now, according to your word, for your people, in Jesus' name. That night, after he had blessed the bread, he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take, eat, and as often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death." I want you to know, it was in the Lord's death that our victory was established. Today, go to the Lord's table and take the meal of blessing. Take the meal of supernatural victory. Let Revelations 12, 10 and 11 be reenacted in your life. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, the very one that went to the throne of God day and night. Satan, he doesn't get tired in doing some things, but you just have to stop him